Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
All right, this is Dan once again. As promised, Wes Blakey and Cale Geese joining us today. City Council met last night, so I guess we'll talk about that a little bit. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dan.
Everybody feeling okay?
Feeling pretty good.
Good.
Brand new year?
Brand new year, same old me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's not automatically 20 pounds lighter, but that would be nice, wouldn't it, Dan?
I don't know if we can work that into somewhere, but, you know, yeah. Anyway, but same old Nebraska weather. You never know what we're going to get. And a lot of more places got a lot more stuff than we got. But we were in a snow emergency, I noticed. You want to explain what that's all about, Wes?
Snow emergency pretty much means get off the streets. And the purpose of that, and why do you do it, when you do it, and some of those things. Since you can park on the streets, I mean, that sounds funny, but yes, most places you can park on the streets, but since you can at some point during the day, to get you off the streets, it gives snow removal, it's a much easier time. They don't have to worry about going around vehicles. It's safer for them not to run into a car. This time around, we kind of called it early because the forecast for, I mean, we were in a, at when it, once it turned to an ice warning, that's when we actually declared it. And just because we didn't want to have to deal with vehicles and we're sliding around, it may be tough enough for us to move around the community anyway. We didn't have to want to deal with, cars on the streets. So that's why it was done this way. Like I said, it was maybe prematurely done, but it turned out that probably wasn't a bad idea to do it. I mean, it's an inconvenience for everybody when we do it, but, again, we want to, it's for safety. It's for, in the end, the best snow removal possible that we can.
We all survived.
We all survived. Yes.
And we did end that emergency late yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday afternoon.
I don't remember what exact time it was.
But yep. Yeah. And I technically get to call those, but I've never done that, and I never will. Joel Hansen, he was texting me, would have been on the 2nd, whenever it was. Lose some time.
Yeah.
And said, what do you think about this? This is what the forecast had just turned to ice warning. I let the mayor know that this is kind of our thought process. Like, I don't know those things. Joel knows that stuff very well, so I leave it in his hands. Cale was fine, good with that. And so that's why we did what we did with that.
Okay.
So, yeah. Then the question is, well, now, when do you push snow? When don't you push snow? Kind of the goal is 2 inches, yeah. Right? Or that's kind of the threshold. If it's more than 2 inches, they go. If it's two-ish, then you kind of look at the forecast. It's going to get warm the next couple days and it's going to melt off. Is it going to stay cold? And you got to get it off at some point, so you might as well do it up front. If it's been icy beforehand and they put product down on the streets, you don't want to come over and scrape all that off. So there's a lot of things going into it. It's not just, well, it snowed 2 inches, so why aren't you pushing? That type of thing. Some communities don't push until it's 4 inches. I mean, so it's all across the board, but Wayne is, we push a lot. We usually push snow.
Okay.
So if you get, some people get cranky about it. It's like if it's 1¾ inches and you didn't push, some people are upset about that. But talk to council people, talk to staff, and we'll explain why we do what we do. And it's a case-by-case basis. Like I said, when you got ice ahead of time, it's going to be a different protocol than when you don't. And again, I leave that to Joel and his expertise on that. He's been doing it a lot of years. And by and large, I think Wayne does a great job with snow removal.
Did we do it yesterday? I never got into town yesterday, so
early on we didn't, and he had explained that to a council member last night at the meeting, not an open session. This was beforehand about how they put the stuff down. They wanted that to work for
a
while
before the ice.
Yes,
yeah.
And so they started pushing stuff later in the day yesterday. Usually, if it's a snow overnight, we get out there about 4 o'clock in the morning and are done by 7 or 8 o'clock. Yesterday was different. They waited until more the 6:30 or 7 o'clock when they started doing some things.
Okay. I think they only hit the emergency routes, Joel said, yeah. And then sanded or hit them with that salt sand mix at the intersections that they know will be slick. So that's one thing, is if you do come across a spot in town that is extraordinarily slick, you can call dispatch and have them, you know, notify, because then the street department will go out and check it out.
Okay. Communication is a good thing.
So yep.
Don't be shy about passing along whatever information you've gathered.
Exactly.
Absolutely. The PD or staff can't be out driving every street at all hours of the day. So if you come across an area that's bad, please call. Absolutely. Call the PD or call at regular hours. You can call City Hall proper, and we'll get yeah. something out there.
But it's kind of interesting, the science that Joel has behind, or the not the science, maybe that's the art behind maneuverability is the real goal. You know, sometimes it looks like, you know, why the heck isn't the city out here? Well, if the city was to go out and push it, then maneuverability would actually go down. You know, it would make it slicker if they did go out and, yes. and push. So
well, I know that from my house.
So yeah. there's it's been interesting having these conversations with Joel and kind of picking up on those little tips and tricks that they use, the street department uses to keep maneuverability and access high. And granted, it's not going to be like we're down in Arizona, no matter what. You know, the streets are not going to be clear. This is winter in Nebraska, after all. We yep. got to embrace it a little bit, you know.
But yeah, just don't complain to yourself. You may, you know, make a call and discuss, you know, reasonably yep. with people. Don't just get mad and say, I'm never voting for that guy again. Okay, we'll move on past winter for the time being, and there's more to come.
There will yes. be.
City Council did meet, I'm sure, talked about other things last night besides snow and ice. So we'll get down to that. Let's see. I haven't even had a chance to look at the agenda, to tell you the truth. What happened, Cale?
Well, we kicked off with Cat Peterson came in and kind of gave his annual spiel about the insurance package that the city uses. And this was good. It was, I think, was this the first time for three council members? I was trying to see if Pick had been on there long enough to catch his spiel last year.
I think he did, yeah.
So maybe it was just for two. But any time that you expend this amount of money, I mean, insurance is one of those things that you hate paying for, but you just got to have it.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of good discussion about whether to change from a $10,000 deductible on our property to the $25,000. That would save us a little bit of money, and that's what the city opted to do. Unfortunately, when we go to write a check, it's usually a big check, so maybe you opt to save a little bit and cross your fingers and hope that you can get a couple few years out that it makes sense and pays for itself after that. Anything to add, Wes, on that?
No, yeah, it's a big ticket item. I think the biggest highlight was, and this is all over the place, that our property values, or our replacement values, went up about 25%. So, and that's to, if you had a building last year, you could replace for $100,000. This year it's going to be $125,000, not a whole building, but you know, whatever it might be.
Right.
So it went up substantial. That obviously drives up premiums. So, yeah, I mean, the ticket last night was $438,000. I mean, that's a lot of money for insurance, but that insures everything we have. That includes the power plant, which is on a separate policy, but it's within that amount of money. That's that would be an expensive piece of property to replace the
yes.
power plant. So, yeah, I mean, that was my biggest takeaway, was the amount of property values that have gone, or the replacement value that has gone up so much.
Yeah, I guess shouldn't be a surprise, the way of the world right now. Yeah.
Everything's getting more expensive.
All right. We won't blame Cale for that one.
We can.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, don't hold back on my account.
All right. Memorandum of Understanding between the city and the school district is next.
Can you take that? Sure. So we've been talking about, you know, the school looking at what is the school going to do next for additional classrooms, a new school, et cetera, et cetera. And we've had conversations with them about mm-hmm. Property west of the activity center.
Mm-hmm.
And so last night was like the first formal part of an agreement, even though it was a memorandum of understanding, so it's not legally binding, but just to kind of spell out what is expected from both parties. And the city did approve that last night to ultimately work with the school to sell them or give them the property west of the activity center to build a preschool through to second grade, I think is what they have planned for with an expansion in the future. And so that would be contingent on
them actually doing it.
Well, a bond, yeah, a bond issue that would be approved in March. So at that point, then we'd go through the formal process of a purchase agreement, replatting, and some of that. We don't want to do that until we know that the bond would go through.
Okay. There will be more to come on that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to formally sell the property or give the property to the mm-hmm. school and have a purchase agreement signed on that.
And if you haven't had the opportunity to check out those plans, I think reach out to the school. I think they'd love to help educate you as to why they're making these decisions or how they arrived at this decision to choose that location. It was originally school property that was then given to the city to put the activity center there. So it's kind of like we're just trading back and forth here for what we believe is the best for the community and the taxpayer. And it's going to be messy. I just see that parking lot in the mornings and at school being kind of a chaos zone for at first, but I'm sure they'll work it out and provide some organization to it. Not quite sure how it's going to work, but the traffic flow works. I think it's going to work better, at least than, you know, think about back to the old middle or the old elementary school. And that was kind of organized chaos, too, with that loop and having mm-hmm. to get all those parents through there in that part of the neighborhood. And then the city can do whatever we can do to help to help that traffic flow as optimally as possible as we go down the line. So patience as we do this. It sounds like the parking lot should work pretty good. We're getting the most out of our city assets too.
Okay, we'll talk more with Dr. Lenihan about that sure next week. All right, moving on. Approving chief elected official to sign an application for a civic and community center financing fund grant. That was a mouthful.
Yeah, this is we shorten that to CCCFF. And these are monies from the Ralston Arena, Pinnacle Bank, Century, whatever they're called now, CHI Health Center in Omaha, monies that go throughout the greater state of Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And we've never received one of these grants. We tried last year for an addition to the activity center. And I said, luckily we didn't get that because the sales tax didn't get approved to put that addition on. But this time around, we're going to look at Prairie Park improvements down to the old lagoon area with a lot of dirt that has to be moved, roadways to be built up, storm sewer coming through in different areas. And so it looks like that could be close to a $1.8 million project if we concrete curb the parking areas. And so this would be a $562,500. And we'd have to match that dollar for dollar, which wouldn't be a problem because of the amount that this first phase would take. So very competitive grant. There's no promises, but I think we've got a good plan, and as the grant writer from Northeast Economic Development District thinks, we've got a good chance at it too. So we'll see where it goes. I thought we had a good chance last time, and we were turned down, as were everybody else in the state except three implementation grants in the entire state. So like I said, it's highly competitive, and it will be this time around as well.
Okay, keep our fingers crossed. Every little bit helps.
Absolutely.
All right. Is the next one the same thing, or is that different?
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Just an action item on the previous.
Okay. All right. Joel Hansen was next.
Go with that? Yeah. So one thing that Cale's been doing since he's been mayor is he's having department heads come in and talk to the council before the budget cycle starts. And you think, well, budget cycle, you just went through that. Well, we start talking budget stuff really the day after the other one has been approved. So department heads getting in front of council, a couple different things. It's a way for the council to ask questions directly to those department heads. It's not filtered through me. They can ask department heads direct questions. Department heads can get a good feel for what the council is thinking about how their department's running. It introduces the department heads to maybe new members of council and vice versa if they're not at every council meeting and some of that. So I think it's been a very good thing the last few years. So Joel was first up. He has to do this for the state of Nebraska anyway, so it works out really well that he's usually the first one in the year to do this. So he talked a lot about his fleet of machinery and vehicles and how we need to replace a couple. I mean, you're always having to replace equipment. Talked about snow removal a little bit and how last year there was none. Three and a half inches of snow for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So miles on our vehicles were down. We didn't use salt. We didn't. I mean, there's lots of things we didn't have to. We didn't use. So it was good on the budget. But so he just explained some of those numbers and things that would fluctuate from year to year depending on snowfall and that type of stuff. So
okay,
big things I'm missing out on. Last year they did a lot more concrete patchwork. They'll look at doing more of that this year as well.
You want to hit on the Black Hills Energy?
Oh yeah, sure. So Black Hills Energy is doing improvements around town, and they have one quadrant to do yet this spring, and so it kind of leaves the alleys a mess. And the base of the alley that's been there for years is disturbed because of the digging. And so Black Hills is the best job they can to put it back, or anybody that works in the alleys, but it just never quite gets back to the way it was before. So we have a fee associated with those permits that Black Hills pays us X amount for the rock and some of the time that it would take to go back through these alleys. So that's our responsibility to put those alleys back after Black Hills gets it to the best that they can do. And so we'll be hitting those alleys again next year. The issue we have is our little maintainer, what he considers physically blew up. There was whatever, I don't know what part of it did, but it's a 1975.
Sounds right.
And so it's seen better days. They put a lot of money into it the last 10 years. Joel said, and he goes, it's just starting to really nickel and dime us. This would be a major fix again. And so he said he's going to start looking for some used equipment, a small motor grader. It's not something that the county has. I mean, they have larger graders than what we need for our alleys. And so that's kind of the highest priority right now for Joel. Is that
kind of what you want? Yep.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Looks like the rest of the meeting had to do with the possibility of getting in a new city hall.
Yeah.
You want to take that?
I do not.
You do not. Okay. So we've kind of hit that apex, Dan. We're ready to announce some things, and we've agreed to purchase the Emeritus Building. We've got to walk through it again and do a couple things to make it ironclad, I guess, but. The city council did approve that last night for $650,000. That's all public now. And that would be the properties of Emeritus. So that's the building proper on Main Street, as well as the parking lot on Logan Street.
Okay.
So the city will be...
And part of that is the church's property. So
then the church, we entered into a separate agreement with the church to purchase the property to the north of the Emeritus building proper for $50,000. So $70,000 total for... that entire property of Emeritus and that parking lot, plus the concrete parking lot on Logan Street. And then there'll be renovations to the building too. So that's the plan as of now. Nothing is closed. So, I mean, things obviously can change, but right now that's the direction that everything's moving towards.
So. Okay. And how are we thinking of financing all that?
Just write a check, Dan. We have money budgeted. We've budgeted money for city hall improvements for years.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have, I just talked to Beth, we have $250 in one fund and $190 in another and $100,000 in sales tax. So, I mean, there's pots of money here and there. We will be over. We'll be over budget on those line items. But with budgeting, the thing is you can't be over on the overall number of expenses at the end of the year, expenditures at the end of the year. And so if you are, you have to go back and re-adopt your budget, have a public hearing and re-adopt your budget, which communities do. We won't need to do that. We have enough budget in other places that we won't be spending the money on. So Beth doesn't have an issue with that. Now, the renovations of the building, if that takes whatever that takes, a million plus to do, that will be likely budgeted in the next fiscal year. So where will that come from? It'll come from sales tax, probably mainly. I mean, that's kind of our go-to on a lot of that. But you can pull from different areas as well with that. Again, we've been budgeting for many, many years, about usually $500,000 a year. Last year, we cut that back to $190,000. Two 250s is usually what we'd been doing, and it was a $250,000 and a $190,000 last year. So,
okay.
So there's partial... money in the budget for it in those line items specific, but there's other money around for public building funds and those types of things that we can use. So no bond or anything like that has to be done.
That's what everybody would be.
And I guess I shouldn't speak for the council, but I'm assuming renovations will be cash as well, pay-as-you-go type deal, not taking out a loan to do some things. Or if it is, it's going to be short-term from the electric fund or something like that, that we can pay them interest versus going out and getting money from a bank or a borrower. So
when are we going to start working on this?
Well, we got to close. We got to own the property first, but... that could be a quick turnaround. We've got some work to do inside that some of our guys can do with some demolition or some there's lots of cubicles in that building. So anybody out there that would like cubicles,
very nice cubicles.
We could make you a sweetheart of a deal. We want to get rid of them.
They're extractable.
They are. Yeah. They come down. But there's a lot of them. And so if somebody would like to take a look at them and see if they want to, if they'd like them, we will be very open to that. Otherwise, we're going to have to discard them because we really don't have much use for them.
Yeah, we'll keep a few, but that's, we think.
Yep.
Okay.
So, more to come on that. We'll hire an architect to help us through the remodel situation and all that.
This has been a very long process. Right. And it really came down to, you know, if you haven't been following the view every time, like you absolutely should. But if you haven't been following every time, it really came down to we've had major improvements to be made to City Hall, and just the nature of that building, the way it's designed, the positioning of the elevator, the fact that all of the building's guts are encased in concrete. The tab for renovation was just sky high, and they didn't feel like they were really improving the facilities at all. They were just pouring money into something that was going to get us back to what we had already. That's what kind of started this search. And then the opening of the Emeritus building and the fact that the way that building's designed with its HVAC, splitting it up into kind of what you would think of maybe would naturally go into a spot like that. Since call centers seem to be more of a thing of the past as they transition workers into the home, we just didn't feel like, you know, that building, were we going to get ourselves into an old Shopko situation where the building sat empty for months and months and months? It was like, well, are the stars aligning here? And the council thought, yes, let's move forward. This building, we can use it for our purposes. Square footage-wise, it fits in and allows for almost unlimited growth, I would say. I would hope that our government, if we can't fit in that building, maybe we're
too big.
Maybe we're too big. So this just allows council to achieve their goals. And am I terrified of what the renovation is going to be like? Absolutely. But the council was pretty adamant that no more money into the old City Hall. We need to secure our future for the next 50 years and stop thinking, you know, 5 years at a time. So.
Okay. And, of course, we eventually have to get into the discussion of what to do with the old City Hall then.
Yes, that will be interesting. You know, we've got a lot of our, you know, the 911 stuff in particular really creeps up. We've got that tower sitting there. How are we going to handle that? And then transitioning, of course, is going to be interesting as well because... some of those jobs can move over as soon as we're ready, but you kind of don't want people in the way either of your major renovations going on.
Okay.
More so no timeline at this point, Dan. But
okay.
Yeah, we'll
you keep have a you. Timeline of making this a done deal?
Hopefully by the end of January.
By the end of January. Okay.
That's the hope.
That's pretty quick.
That's pretty quick.
Okay. I mean, obviously they have to agree to whatever deal you make, offer yep. you make to yep. them. So. All right. Well, that's all that's on the agenda. Anything else? We've talked about streets and all that.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that, you know, transparency of government, those types of things. Obviously, anybody can always come to our meetings, look at minutes online, that type of thing. We're also going to start putting on the recordings of the meetings online. So that will be under, Brian says, it'll be under the tab of council where you can get the agenda, minutes, packets, those types of things. There'll be now a tab or an archive of recordings of City Council. So if you want to listen to it, you can do that at your own leisure. So we're going to start offering that here. The goal is to have like last night's meeting up by the time the minutes are approved at the other. So it would be the following meeting. So you're not going to, it's not going to be next day. It's going to probably be a 2-week lapse there, but then you'll be able to listen to that meeting online.
Yep. All right. Communication is always good. Yep. Yes. All right.
I think you're biased in that, Dan.
Well, maybe.
Don't you just want to broadcast all council meetings?
I remember when I was going to college, we used to have, you know, whoever drew the short straw got to go down to.
Short straw. You should want to be there, Dan.
Was there live commentary, too?
color commentary, play-by-play.
No, I don't think we ever did that.
Mayor Geese picks up the gavel.
But anyway, yeah, because he used to be on the college's TV station, used to actually have the council meetings on.
And we've talked about, I mean, I remember years ago with cable access and that type of thing, of trying to get meetings on that, and council, I think, was a little gun-shy on this. This, they had no issues. I haven't heard anything about having the recordings online. With a new facility and new audiovisual, I'm sure that's going to be enhanced greatly, whether the Zoom meetings or whatever, the Zoom broadcast or however that happens, I'm sure we'll have a lot better setup than what we currently have. That's for sure.
Yeah, the original discussion, we wanted audiovisual, but it was going to be like $100,000 of equipment, and then we were still going to have
a pole
in the middle of the thing so that you couldn't see, you know, a third of it no matter where you put the cameras. So.
All right. Well,
hopefully we move toward that.
All right. Well, I shall let you get back to work then.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right. Wes Blakey and Cale Geese again, our guests today here on The View from Wayne, America.
The View from Wayne, America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne, America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne, America. Enjoy the news.